have some movies you'd like us to review?
Tell us!
Send us an email at driveinmovieshr@gmail.com.
Or slide into our DMs on Instagram and Twitter at drivemoviespod, or on Facebook at Hogan and Rudy.
Let us know what to watch next.
And now, on with the show.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Driving Movies. Getting into the summertime, we have some kind of blockbuster summertime kids adventure movies that we'll be discussing this week. We have E.T. the Extraterrestrial going up against Super 8. So going into the details here, starting with E.T., that is from what year?
I think it's 1984.
Earlier, 1982.
Ooh, okay.
That is directed by Steven Spielberg. Written by Melissa Matheson. That stars Henry Thomas as Elliot, Drew Barrymore as Gertie, Peter Coyote as Keys, Dee Wallace as Mary, and Robert McNaughton as Michael. That is going up against Super 8 from what year?
2011. Ooh, nice.
That is directed and written by J.J. Abrams. That stars Joel Courtney as Joe Lamb, Kyle Chandler as Deputy Jackson Lamb, and Elle Fanning as Alice Daynard. There are also a bunch of other main actor kids in the movie, but I didn't write down their names because I didn't feel like it. So there's other people in this movie, too. I will turn it over to you to go over what these movies are about, though.
Yeah, so we have E.T., which is about a young boy who finds an extraterrestrial who he names E.T. because E.T. was accidentally left on the planet. So he makes his way to the child's home, and the child kind of takes care of him. Wants to keep him forever. But the child has to help E.T. return home. Then you have... what was the other movie that we did?
Super 8?
Super... why do I keep forgetting this movie?
I know, I forgot about it too.
Super 8. And that is about... similar. But not so similar. You have a train, the group of kids... they're trying to film this movie, and this train derails right in front of them, and this monster escapes, which happens to be an alien from another planet. So the alien is on the loose in this small town, and the Air Force comes in, and the kids try to figure out what's going on and kind of help this alien. Kind of.
Yeah. Or maybe.
Maybe.
All right, so let's start dissecting these two movies, starting with the writing. What did you think about E.T. and Super 8?
So these... I've never seen either of these. Surprisingly, what? I've never seen E.T.
Oh,
I know.
Wow. Okay.
Maybe, like, pieces of it, but I've never watched it all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
I see why people like it.
Yeah.
It is kind of a goofy movie, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's... but it fits the theme. And I won't bash it too much, because I know it's a...
oh, no, let's hear it. Bash it. Let's hear it.
There's so many things in the story that don't make sense. What the characters do annoys me. Nothing's explained. You're kind of just watching this child in E.T. But all these other people are coming in. Like, there's these scientists that are trying to find E.T., and you're like, wait, how do they even know he's there? What's going on? There's so many things in the background that they just never explain. And yeah. I get it's a kid's movie, so they don't want to go too much. Or it feels like a kid's movie. I don't know if it was supposed to be. I don't know.
It's definitely a kid's movie.
It just feels goofy.
Yeah, rewatching it again, I like E.T., but it is kind of silly at parts. It is a really fun kids movie. It's very lighthearted. A lot of the story is told from the perspective of the kids. You're really watching the kids' reaction to E.T. and how they plan on helping him, and how his existence kind of shapes their lives and changes their lives. But there definitely are things that are interesting in the movie. I had to look up why exactly they got sick in the middle.
Oh, yeah, like, well, yeah.
Why are they getting sick? I couldn't remember if they explained it or not. And they don't really have an explanation for it. And that's just kind of... It happens a couple times in that movie, and I think that's the point that you brought up, where they just kind of they kind of roll with what's happening, and there's not a whole lot of explanation. But again, it's a kid's movie. It's kind of like a family adventure movie that is just entertaining. It's a popcorn movie that the story itself is simple enough to follow along. There might be stuff that doesn't really make sense, but it doesn't really make the movie confusing. You just gotta kind of forgive certain aspects that they don't really want to dive into, and that's okay. But it's not as strong of a story as I remember from watching it as a kid.
Right.
You know, I watched it a lot as a kid, and I remember certain things that happened here and there, but rewatching it, I was like, oh, that is weird. That doesn't make sense. And maybe it's just growing up as an adult, you become more critical and analytical, which you're not supposed to with this movie. But it's still enjoyable, and I think this story is fun enough to have a good time with it.
And I did, yeah. I forgave it a lot for... I was like, I brush it off. Because it's still fun to watch E.T. and and the main child kind of figure things out.
One of the biggest questions we had during the movie, and I don't know if it's necessarily the writing aspect, but towards the end of the movie, the like scientists come to the house, and that's when Elliot and E.T. are both really sick. And they kind of swarm the house and break in, but they're all wearing astronaut outfits.
Yes, that's when I was watching with my parents, and I was like, what are they wearing?
We were like, we could understand, like, hazmat suits.
For sure.
But, like, full-blown astronaut outfits? That's a interesting costume decision for that movie. But again, maybe as it being a kid's movie and geared towards kids, would kids know what a hazmat suit is? Would they know maybe the astronaut suits are meant to tailor to that demographic. But still, as an adult, it's weird.
And similar to going off of that scene, there's a point where they show outside the house and there's just people lined up. If you had a house that was quarantined in your neighborhood, I wouldn't want to go anywhere near that.
Yeah.
I'd be like, why do they quarantine this whole house? What is in there?
And I'm staying far away.
Yeah, let me go as close as I can to whatever is in that house. Perfect. Good plan.
What about Super 8?
Super 8. So this is the story. It's not as family friendly. The alien is not like E.T. He's kind of pissed that he's stuck on this planet because scientists have just... He crashed in the 50s. The movie takes place in 1979, so these scientists have just been doing experiments on him, trying to figure out exactly what he is. They took apart his ship. This alien just wants to go home. I feel bad for it. And these kids kind of just get looped into the middle because the Air Force train that's holding this alien crashes right in front of them, around them, which I am very excited to talk about in tech.
Ooh,
all right. But as a story, it's fun to watch. I don't think it's my favorite movie. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. I think it's a mid-tier type of story. It's not great, but it was still fine to watch.
I like the writing in Super 8. I think they do a good job of blending kind of like that childhood adventure, family-friendly-ish style film with kind of more horror elements and kind of a mystery aspect too, because you don't really know what it is. You don't know why the train crashed. There's a teacher who's involved who caused the crash, and you don't know why he's doing it. So you kind of get little dabbles of different things. You kind of get a family drama because the main kid's mom had passed away, and he's dealing with his dad, who's a single dad, and he's also a police officer, so he's not really that emotionally attached to his kid, so you have that dynamic. Then you kind of have a fun kids movie where the kids are all making a horror movie themselves, and so you have a lot of comedic banter between the kids. Then you have the alien monster that adds a horror element to it and a mystery side of things. So they have a lot of different genres that I think blend well together. And the story is a little bit more, I guess not a little bit more, it's quite a bit meatier than E.T. A lot more stuff is happening. You don't really know the whole alien aspect side of things, where E.T. just kind of brushes it off and they're like, oh, an alien's here. Super 8 is like, why is this alien here? What is it feeling? Who are these people that are trying to capture it? All that kind of stuff. So I feel like the story is really baked out a lot more than E.T. But with that being said, with it having a lot more to it, I think there's also a lot of things similar to E.T. that you're like, what? But why is this happening now? What is, what's going on? How does this work? Why are these things happening the way that they are? So I had some issues with parts here and there of Super 8 in the plot, but for the most part, I think they do a pretty good job of taking different genres and aspects of movies and kind of writing a story that centers around everything. And it's actually a pretty decent story, in my opinion.
And I actually enjoyed, so in the credits, they show you the movie, the full movie that the kids made.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I actually enjoyed that.
You
that
wanted a full-length movie of just that one?
Yeah, I actually enjoyed that.
Something that was actually not badly put together either. Like,
no.
I'd watch that.
Yeah.
So who do you give your point to in this category?
Oh, boy. I think for writing, it's going to go to Super 8, just because of what you said. A little more meatier.
Yeah.
It was a little bit more fun to watch. I wasn't questioning why every 5 minutes, like, oh.
Why are they doing this?
Yeah. So I think Super 8.
Yeah, I think I'll agree with you. I think there's just more that happens, more that's poured into the writing of Super 8. What about characters?
This will be a hard one, because I like characters in both movies. The kids in E.T., it's mainly the family that you see.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the younger boy who is the first one to kind of investigate.
Elliot.
With this thing. Yes, Elliot. The older brother I hated in the beginning. I was like, if I have to watch this movie with this character. But he gets... Once E.T. shows up, the brother gets enjoyable to watch. And I think maybe one of my favorites, Drew Barrymore is very good. She's hilarious. Every kind of, like, part of her dialogue made me laugh. I'm like, she's so young doing this. Why is she so funny?
Yeah.
So I enjoyed all the kids. And E.T., he's goofy, but he's fun.
I love the way E.T. walks. I could just watch an hour and a half of E.T. walking. It's like so adorable.
Just waddling?
Yeah.
But he seemed very fast in the beginning.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, he was like running around in the woods, and then at the end when he goes onto his spaceship, spoiler alert, that's like the longest walk up that ramp ever. It was like, oh my god, just get in the ship already. Oh boy.
That's what the other ETs are probably saying.
Yeah.
They're like, we had to travel 300,000 light years to come get you because we forgot you here.
Go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Hurry up.
What about Super 8?
Super 8. All the kids are fun. They all have their own unique personalities, and I think you get a good amount of time with each. There is a somewhat of a love story between two of them.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing, I wish we could know more about the alien.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's intelligent, of course. It's building this ship. But I feel like we get nothing... Towards the end, we kind of get somewhat of a personality from it.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know more.
Yeah, the kids never really, like, make a bond with the alien. So mm-mm. The alien is just kind of a background character.
It right.
Doesn't really serve as a driving force. I mean, it's a driving force of the movie, but the alien itself doesn't really play a huge part.
Right.
I think I like the characters in both movies. The pros and cons I would give each. Pros in Super 8, I think they have really good character dynamics. So, mm-hmm. like, between the kid and his dad, Joe is the main kid, and between him and Alice, who is the main girl, kind of like the love interest, she's the daughter of kind of the town screw-up and drunk, who mm-hmm. is actually the cause for why Joe's mom died. So you have kind of some tension between those two where they like each other, but they don't know if they're supposed to like each other or supposed to be around each other. And then you have the parents who are kind of pulling them apart as well. So I think there's more depth to the emotional side of these characters.
Right.
And how they interact with each other. The cons of Super 8, while I liked kind of the group banter between the kids, some of the friends got super annoying in my opinion. Like, they were always screaming at each other. It's like, oh my gosh. Like, his main best friend who was directing the movie, after a while I was like, this kid is like way too bossy and like everything needs to be his way. And he even gets mad at the main kid because he's like, I liked the main girl. I invited her because I wanted her to be with me. Which is valid, and it adds to the character dynamic as well. But I was just like, oh my god, this kid complains about everything. Everything is everyone else's problem. Then the kid with the firecrackers, mm-hmm. yeah, he was kind of annoying. And then there was another kid, but he was always, like, scared of everything, so he was always whining that he didn't want to be there or it was too dangerous and stuff like that. And I don't know, it just got overbearing at times with how intensely
sure.
the characters reacted. It was almost too, they were almost too emotional at times. Like, oh my gosh. Pros and cons of ET are, I think, the opposite of Super 8. So you don't really get too much of a connection between the actual characters themselves. You get a connection between Elliot and ET. And the rest of the family in E.T. in some way or the other. But within the rest of themselves, like their family dynamic, you get little tidbits here and there, knowing that the dad is no longer in the picture. But beyond that, I think they kind of brush upon that once, and then, I don't know, it just didn't seem like any of the characters really connected with each other. E.T. was kind of the central piece.
Right.
Which isn't a bad thing. But on the positive side, I didn't find any of the characters annoying. I thought they were all enjoyable to watch. Elliot, I think, did a good job of being the main kid and having a good balance of his emotions, where he did kind of a lot of screaming too. But I feel like it was all at times that fit with the story, and his reactions to things I thought were written pretty well. Realistically and well thought out. So I don't know who I would give it to for characters in this one.
I think I'm going to give it to E.T.
E.T.?
Mm-hmm.
I think I am going to give it to Super 8 as well in this one, because I do appreciate the character dynamics. And I do like the main kid. I think he's a good lead actor as well.
We differ.
Ooh. What about music?
Music? E.T. has a very nice score.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a very famous song. There, kind of the theme of E.T. Super 8 also had a nice score with a mix of like 70s music. But I think E.T. went very well. The score went very well with the rest of the movie.
That John Williams score?
That John... How could you not give it to John Williams?
Yeah, you have probably one of the most iconic soundtrack themes of all time in E.T.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for watching it a lot of as a kid, I remembered pieces here and there. But that music, I knew by heart. Like, it's probably one of the most memorable aspects of that film. Super 8, I think the soundtrack's really nice. It's a soundtrack by Michael Giacchino. I don't know how you say his last name.
Giacchino.
It's a really nice score. You have some tender moments in there. You have kind of a horror aspect whenever the alien is on screen. And then, like you said, you have some 70s music thrown in there to establish the time period. Which, I do have to say, there's not one but two songs by ELO, which happens to be one of my favorite bands of all time. Ooh. So anytime those songs came out, I was like, they're trying to win me over in the music here. But as much as I like ELO, and as much as I like the range of the soundtrack in Super 8, you just can't beat that John Williams score.
Can't beat it.
It's one of the best things about the movie, and even afterwards, you're humming that main theme. Feeling pretty good. It automatically puts you in a good mood.
Absolutely.
E.T.?
E.T.!
All right, Tech, the category you've been waiting for, you're excited about this week.
Holy J.J. Abrams. that train wreck scene, it was a little overdone for me. I feel like if a train hit a car, it wouldn't be like a war zone. Maybe it could be. I don't know. I've never seen...
Yeah, like the never whole seen it train just completely...
Oh my gosh, there's like full rail cars flying everywhere. And I thought it just like tips over.
It's interesting how the pickup truck seems to have decimated the train. But the train, it did some damage to the pickup truck, but it was still standing there.
And the man was still alive driving the truck?
The man was still alive. You're like, whoa, this train. Man, oh man.
So they took full advantage of whatever budget they had on explosives. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, because then at the end, too, because the alien, I guess, makes machines go crazy and, like, magnets and stuff like that, you have, like, the army actually in town and all of their equipment is going haywire. So you got missiles going off and guns are going crazy. And you're like, oh man, this is like 1917 all over again.
And they did so much research on this thing. How did they not know how to defeat it? Why were they putting it on the train car? There's a lot of questions. I don't know. I guess that's more writing. But it was a little overdone in the, I don't know, the effects category there.
CGI, the CGI is a CGI fest. Even the monster himself, that's my biggest beef with the tech, is you have this big CGI monster, and I want to say 95% of the time he's on screen, you can barely see anything. Like, it's either too dark, or you're just seeing like a piece of him, which adds to the horror element. You're building mystery, I get it, but after a certain point of time, and after having that many like, oh, you almost saw him,
yeah,
just show me the damn thing. I want to see what it looks like. They do it at the end, but even at the end, it's still dark, and it's hard to like piece out exactly what it looks like. That's my biggest problem. And you see that a lot with, like, big monster movies, where they always tease, like, Godzilla and King Kong and stuff like that. They're like, oh, there's the shadow of the big monster. It's like, just show it to me. This is what I paid money to see.
Yeah, this is...
Show it to me. So that's my biggest beef. The rest of the movie, I think, is filmed very nicely. It looks like it's a very easy movie to watch. It's easy on the eyes, aside from the CGI, which it's a CGI fest, but the non-CGI element of it is, like, crisp.
Yeah. Even from the right from the beginning, it's very cinematic.
So, and you could tell, specifically with this movie, that I feel like they were influenced heavily by Spielberg. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of their shots and takes, I'm like, this seems like a homage to Spielberg rather than creating something new.
E.T., the lighting. Why is it so nice? Why is that lighting so good in E.T.?
That's Rudy's favorite aspect of tech is the lighting.
I think so. That's what I lean towards. Anytime I see a movie, I'm like, ooh, look at that lighting. Look how nice that building looks in that light.
Do you want to know a funny story?
Yes, absolutely.
That pertains to the lighting and why I think the tech in E.T. is so good. I used to watch that movie all the time as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie actually scared me.
I can see that.
Not because of E.T. It's because of the scientist guys and their flashlights and how, like, you never see their face. You just, you always see them in the dark.
Spooky.
They're walking around with their flashlights. You see, like, E.T., like, hiding, and you see them, like, trying to find him. I don't know why the people in that movie terrified me. Not the alien. The people. And I think it's because of the tech aspect and the way that the movie presents it. It's almost like them trying to present them to you like E.T. is seeing him. Like, E.T. is scared of him. And so they're going to show it to you as if you were either a kid or E.T. You don't really understand what's happening.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I come to the conclusion, too, with, like, the silliness of the astronaut outfits and stuff like that. I really started thinking about it because I was like, why did they do that? That's such a weird thing. Such a weird decision. But then every aspect of that movie is tailored towards the kids in E.T. So how would they view this situation? How would it present to them?
Yeah.
So that's why the guys in the beginning are so scary, or at least I thought they were scary as a kid. That's maybe I'm theorizing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why they wore astronaut outfits. And I actually read as part of the trivia for this movie, Steven Spielberg shot most of it at, like, kids' eye level because that's who the movie was following. So most of the scenes were shot at, like, Elliot's eye level so that you felt like you were a kid and you were experiencing the movie as a kid.
Brilliant.
And I just feel like a lot of the tech aspect was really thought out in that sense of the movie. And it just really works. I think of everything, plot, characters, music, tech, the tech in this movie is really what makes it, like, a great movie.
Yeah, and I like E.T., actually, like, mm-hmm. the way he looks. I think it's...
For as kind of scary as he... Well, not scary, but... I don't know, it's just, like, flappy rubber that he looks like.
Flappy rubber.
Kind of looks gross.
I'd
fun
be E.T.'s
fact.
Friend.
You'd be E.T.'s friend?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, he was nice. He was a cute little guy.
Give me that fun fact.
I would watch the way he walks, and then I'd be like, oh, this guy's adorable. I'd be his friend. It's just like a little waddle. Another fun fact, completely aside from everything. I read that the candy that they were supposed to eat was actually supposed to be M&M's.
Oh, my parents told me that.
But M&M's, or Mars, the candy company, thought that E.T. was too ugly and he would frighten children, so they didn't want to associate their name with E.T. And then the movie came out, and it was the biggest box office hit of all time at that point in time. And Reese's Pieces sales skyrocketed.
That's okay, because Reese's Pieces are way more delicious than M&M's.
So do you say Reese's Pieces, or do you say Reese's Pieces?
Oh, I don't know now. Reese's.
Because I always said Reese's Pieces, and then
I think that's what I say.
I realized, why would it be pronounced like that?
Reese's.
It's neither Reese's or Pieces. It's just Pieces.
Reese's why am Pieces. I, yeah, why is
why
it?
Why would I pronounce Pieces like Pieces?
It's part of the fun.
But you know what? I'm still going to call it Reese's Pieces because I can. So
yeah, I someone try to stop I've always said it.
Because it's like Reese's Puffs. I don't say Reese's Puffs. Reese's Puffs.
If Reese's wants to Reese's sponsor Cups. This podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And give us just, pieces.
We're dropping your name so many times, man. This episode is going to want to make people go out and buy Reese's Pieces.
Reese's Pieces.
So, who are we giving our point in tech to?
I'm giving it to E.T.
Me too. E.T. All right, last category. Which movie did you enjoy more?
For how goofy I found E.T., I actually enjoyed it way more than Super 8. I think Super 8's still a good movie. Probably not one that I would go back to just because I didn't find that much enjoyment. Mm-hmm. Glad I watched it. But E.T. is very heartwarming.
Yeah.
And enjoyable to watch. Like you said, popcorn movie. I like that description. Mm-hmm. Popcorn movie.
Yeah, I agree. I think I actually really enjoy Super 8, and it's a movie I've seen multiple times. I think I saw it in theaters a couple times because I liked it so much. It's a movie I've seen multiple times, and I'll probably keep going back and watching it. It's another easy movie to watch for me. None of it really drags, and I find most of it enjoyable. E.T., rewatching it, I didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I would.
Okay.
But I still enjoy it. I still think it's a really good movie, and I still probably enjoy it more than Super 8. But going into it, I was like, E.T.'s going to blow Super 8 out of the water. And it was actually a lot closer than I thought it would be, because I don't know if it's just because I'm older watching E.T. I remember it kind of being, like, magical watching it as a kid.
Sure.
And, like, being mystified by it. And now, today, I'm like, oh, it's kind of silly. So that childlike wonder kind of is lost a bit. But at the same time, rewatching the movie, it reminds me of my childhood. And I think it's fun in that aspect. And as a family-friendly blockbuster movie, I think it is still really enjoyable. So I would still give it my point over Super 8, but I do really like Super 8 a lot, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Go watch them.
Yeah, both of them. Go to a cookout and then watch E.T. and Super 8 back-to-back.
After you've watched Independence Day for the third time.
Yeah, Independence Day would smoke both these movies in a heartbeat.
What do we have next week? I already forgot.
Next week, we have some movies not quite similar to Independence Day. One of them is by the same director, but we have some disaster movies. We are going to be reviewing Twister and The Day After Tomorrow.
I'm excited. Haven't seen any of those.
Whoa. Get ready for the world to get wrecked.
Already is.
Oh, too soon.
Oh.
Please remember to replace the speaker on the post when you leave the theater.